29 days in May have flown by. The fastest 33 men and cars have been selected. And now the whole month, in fact a year of work, will be reviewed in a matter of hours to determine what magic concept in speed will direct the trend of the future.
Track to be cleared. There were no injuries. There was one fire caused by a broken gas line, but rubber fuel cells protecting the gas supply in each car averted what could have been a fiery disaster. The race is restarted, but one third of the field is missing. Before even one lap is run under the green flag, there is more trouble. Johnny Boyd leaves his car against the first turn wall. George Sally's beautiful speed creation joins the growing pile of battered cars. Again, the green flag, and again, trouble. Jimmy Clark has passed Mario Andretti, and Andretti has car problems. But it doesn't. After one trip into the pits for fresh plugs, Andretti is forced to accept the fact that the race he hoped to win will go to someone else. Andretti is getting the bad news in the pits. Attention is shifted to the back straightaway. Chuck Hulse and George Snyder tangle coming off turn two, and the field of cars scramble wildly to get around the wrecks. With the wrecks cleared away, the race settles down. At least for the moment, Jimmy Clark leads. Lloyd Ruby is second. And Parnelli Jones is third. In the pits, Clark's crew prepares for the first of two routine pit stops, which every car must make. Clark comes through turn four. Well, he was going to make a pit stop anyway. Clark comes in for routine service and damage inspection. The lead passes to Lloyd Ruby. But with the caution light on, others make their mandatory pit stops. Jackie Stewart is in and out in a hurry. Then Graham Hill. And Lloyd Ruby, relinquishing the lead to Clark again. For Roger Ward, it was not a pit stop. Mechanical problems made it the end of the race and the end of a 20-year racing career. A champion retires and walks into history. Now Clark leads, and Lloyd Ruby trails by 19 seconds. Clark has only to maintain his speed and scheduled pit stops to win the race. But Clark spins again, this time in turn three. He makes an unscheduled pit stop for inspection, and the shoe is on the other foot. Lloyd Ruby now has the lead. In turn three, Parnelli Jones slows down and climbs out. Bearing failure on the left front wheel puts the former winner out of the race on the 87th lap. This office is closed for the day. At the midway point, Ruby holds his lead over Clark. Finally, Ruby comes in for his second scheduled pit stop. Clark moves into the lead, but by a very slim margin. Ruby storms out of the pits, and four laps later, catches Clark at the start of the main straightaway. Ruby takes the lead and Clark is second, but he needs fuel and must come in. This puts him in a position of having to worry about holding second place, for Jackie Stewart is moving up rapidly. Back in the race, Clark is unable to maintain the pace set by Ruby and Stewart. He drops back and is passed by Jackie Stewart. And Lloyd Ruby starts to slow down, losing oil. Ruby comes in after leading the race for 68 laps. The gentleman from Texas draws a round of applause from the crowd. Now two Scotsmen, one Englishman, Al Unser, and Jim McElreath dominate the race. It's Al Unser at the beginning of the main straightaway. He climbs out unhurt, but his hopes of finishing his second Indianapolis 500 are gone. Graham Hill passes Jimmy Clark, but Clark thinks that Hill is still a lap behind. What Clark doesn't know is that earlier, on Clark's first spin, Hill had already quietly slipped up in the confusion. Jackie Stewart begins to slow down. His oil pressure is almost gone. Only a few laps left to go, and all he has to do to win is finish. But it's not to be. The car quits in the backstretch, and the rookie Scotsman heads for the finish line on foot. Graham Hill is the leader, just a few laps from the finish. He tours the track smoothly and takes the checkered flag. The Meekum Racing Team holds a celebration.
Graham Hill at car number 24 is the new.
Jimmy Clark is second. He pulls in to be congratulated by Jackie Stewart. And Jim McElreath is third. The race is ended, and Graham Hill of London, England, pulls into victory lane. What kind of a man is he? And does he compare with the preconceived image of what an Indianapolis winner should be? Well, hardly. To start with, he's the calmest man in victory lane, and is a little puzzled by all the confusion. He looks like an English businessman, and didn't learn to drive a car until he was 23. But this great ambassador of auto racing was the 1962 world champion and is the first Indianapolis rookie driver to win since 1927. It is traditional for the Indianapolis winner to drink a cold bottle of milk in victory lane. Jackie Stewart certainly did not win. Maybe he likes milk, or just possibly he's getting in practice for the future.